What's going on, Fight Fans? CombatTalk.fm back on the air. My name is Leister. I'm your host. We're going to start a little bit differently today, and then I have a quick announcement. I'm debating whether I should start talking just briefly, not a lot, but start talking about what's going on in WWE, just to give a little history on that business. So I was in WWE as a kid, as most people were, and then it turned to crap, and arguably it's not as good now as it was. People think it is, but this is really just promos. We're not talking, I'm not a fan of the flips and dives and refs watching people cheat and no rest holds, no freaking submission. I'm not a fan of the current era. I understand what they're trying to do. I'm not a fan of it. You know, I'm not a fan of the fast action. I like a story to be told. It doesn't have to be just mat wrestling all over the place, but I want a story to be told. I want to be brought in. Like, if you think of Drew McIntyre now, I think is garbage compared to the Chosen One, because he stood out as just, he's a titty, you know, and he was larger than life in what I saw, and him going back and forth with Teddy Long, like this whole business right now with the Roman Reigns and The Rock and Cody and Seth Rollins. I don't think Rollins should be in it. And I'm not dinging on Tyler Black. I think he's decent. His character sucks. He's crap. I don't think anything of him. His title's been made to look like garbage. It really should be Stone Cold Steve Austin standing at the side of Cody Rhodes, because Stone Cold Steve Austin bounces off The Rock really well, and Stone Cold Steve Austin has never confronted Roman Reigns. I thought that'd be more compelling. I know the story they're trying to tell with Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins having been in the Shield, but you don't have Dean Ambrose there. If you had Dean Ambrose, maybe I can make a case, but without that, it's garbage. Rollins has already beaten Roman Reigns multiple times, but yet Rollins goes on the air talking about, Cody, you're the only one that can stop Roman Reigns and all this, which pissed me off. I'm like, come on, dude, you're the only one that has beaten Roman Reigns consistently. Pretty much, I don't think he's ever lost one-on-one with Roman Reigns. So how is it that Cody Rhodes, who comes in essentially an outsider, takes a clean loss to Drew McIntyre, is now the only person who can beat Roman Reigns? It doesn't make any damn sense. So I'm not sold, and thus I'm not invested. The Rock has me invested because he's The Rock. I enjoy it. I'm not sold on the Bloodline only because they're not going all in on it. So right now it looks like a ghetto version of the Nation of Domination. The Rock is who's selling it, and I've been a fan of his for decades, since he first got in with the streamers in the grass skirt, as Farouk said. I've been a fan of his. I just think he's a cool dude. Now he's made some mistakes since, but I'm talking in the business. He's been a cool dude, and I've loved everything he was doing. But right now, it's like a ghetto version of the Nation of Domination. If we're being honest with ourselves, that's really what we've got going. A ghetto version of the Nation of Domination. And then everybody else in the Bloodline look like kids behind The Rock, because The Rock dresses like a man and the rest of them dress like bums. And then Cody dresses like a man, but he effectively sucks in the ring from what I can see. Everybody just likes to sing his song. Seth Rollins likes to sing his song. So now it's obvious. They're just going off the hype of the song singing, because they want that. That's all it is. They're not moving the needle. The Rock moves the needle. He draws money. Roman Reigns draws money. Paul Heyman draws money. Usos don't. Solo doesn't. Solo's underrated. Solo, I'm a big fan of his. I think he's underrated. I don't think he's getting the spotlight like he should. He's Raw, but I think there's something there where he could be that next Umaga that just happens to be just an enforcer. They keep him quiet on the mic. Let him go out there and just destroy. Like, you think about Prime Taz, but just not as good on the mic skills. That's what I see as Solo Sikoa. He's killer. But like the Bloodline, they're not going all in on it. By now, we should have had Heel Rikishi back in there with his bad man theme, backing this up. I did it for The Rock. This is what we should be seeing now, because it ties that all full throttle. Because if you go back to that promo, Rikishi was talking about how the family was being held down in the Great White Hope. You can't call out a better story. They're afraid. They're afraid to move that, but that would be a great storytelling to have Heel Rikishi in there backing essentially one of his kids and his family as part of a Bloodline larger narrative. Then you need to call in Nia Jax, because she's part of it. Yes, it's kind of a disconnected part, but she's part of it. Get her in there. Let's figure out how to get Tamina in there. If you're going to go with a Bloodline story, go all in. Hire Jacob Fatu. You showed him on the poster. Get him the fuck in there. Like, get all of them. Let's make a real Bloodline. They should be then decimating the entire fucking locker room, taking all the titles. I want all the gold. That's what Roman said one time. Get all of it. get the Usos back together. They should be dominating the tag team division. They should stop with their high-flying gimmick. They should actually work as an effective tag team. Sell this. Then you get Afa and you get Sika and you get all these other ones from the old school to come in and tell the story about how they're proud and just go all in on this. They're not doing it. Instead, they're doing it to put over fucking Cody Rhodes because of the crybabies. That's what they are. And I love what The Rock is saying, but I'm not fully invested. So people that love it, they love it just because they're Cody crybabes and they want to see Cody get put over. And I understand that, man. But for me, it didn't really work. It doesn't move the needle for me, brother. And so I'm just kind of watching from the distance. But I'm not sold 100% on this whole feud. So I'm debating whether to talk about it. People say, well, what do you want to see? What I want to see is what we had before. So I like a blend, okay? I like the stories. I like the characters. I like the backstage skits. I like the, not all of them, right? But, you know, not the R-Truth shit. But I'm talking, you know, where you actually have some antagonism backstage. I like the announcer or whoever that's in the ring holding the mic for the person talking while they're talking to the people, not them holding their own mic. That feels stagey. I hate that crap. If you go back to when Austin and The Rock were feuding and they were out at the bridge and Austin punched The Rock and The Rock fell into the water and Austin's like, what? You know, that kind of stuff. That's what I want to see. I want to see those kinds of segments, you know, the break-ins and all that bullshit. That's what I want to see. But then on the women's side, people like all these muscular women. Nobody wants to see that shit. That's why those ratings are the lowest rating. Nobody wants to see muscular women going out there doing that stuff. They want to see sexiness. They want us to be attracted to the women that are in the ring. That's what gets over. Why do you think Liv Morgan got such a visceral following? It's because she's sexy, not because she ain't any good, but she's sexy. Sonya Deville, she's sexy. She can fight, but she's sexy. She's lesbian, but she's sexy. We want to be attracted to who it is that we're seeing. That's always how it's been on the men's side. The women want to be attracted. That's, Rock knows that. Everybody knows that. But we're running from that reality. That's what we need to get back to, a blend of all this. Nobody wants to see these women's freaking matches of them hitting themselves with kendo sticks and shit. They want to see, you know what, this woman is over here flirting with one of the dudes, and this other woman over here is jealous, and they get into a beef over that dude, and then they have at it. Or this woman over here, she claims that she wants to learn how to be a wrestler, and she's working with the dude and training to try to work herself up, and then this other girl comes along and try to take the dude. At some point, the women should be managers. If they're not going to be hardcore wrestlers, if they're going to be hardcore wrestlers, there needs to be a story involving the men. So you take Rhea and Dominic. Somebody should be flirting with Dominic by now. I'd like to see Zelina Vega, just a little bit of flirting. It doesn't have to go all the way. Just set up feuds and then cause a reason for them to beef, and then let Dominic bounce off it. You know, crazy shit like that. That's what I like to see. Sorry, that's what I want to see, because we want to see sexy women. We want to be attracted to the people that are out there. And then on the other side, we want to see competition. And I don't want to see just random people just going at it and taking L's for no reason. I don't want to see where people are taking multiple finishers and kicking out. I want it to be a competitive sport. If you're at the top level, I expect kickouts because you're at the top level, but not random jobbers kicking out of DDTs where Jake Roberts was taking you out. Like, it doesn't make any fucking sense. Anyway, I'm done with my rant now. So now, we're here to talk some boxing. We had some events wrap up today as I record this, and I'm going to crash course through all of those. And, you know, you got to come back and give me my, as the kids say, give me my flowers, because the vast majority of these, I told you that the pay-per-view was going to be worth your money. If you didn't buy the pay-per-view, you lost out, because we had pretty good fights. I think some of them may have been disappointments, but generally speaking, top to bottom, it was a great event overall. I'm going to go through those results. Then we're going to get to what's new, because there's less that's new than the results that kind of surprised some people. I don't know why it surprised people, because your guy Leister here at CombatTalk.fm told you what was likely to happen. First up, 12-round super welterweight Madrimov and Kurbanov was a barn burner. Amazing fight. Two undefeated guys go out there. Madrimov gets the stoppage win. This was an amazing fight, and if you didn't get to see it, you missed a great fight. As I told you, it was going to be. This was going to be the worth the price of admission. I arguably think it was. The win that Madrimov got, even though he has less, I expected to see that Madrimov was going to have something for him because of what I saw just on the numbers and the fact that, you know, ultimately Madrimov just had to do what he always did. And that's exactly what he did. Goes out there, gets a stoppage win as I expected, but it was even on the numbers. Like, you're not talking like a obvious win. It was, I'm leaning over this way because of what I see of the guy, But this was a pick'em, and it was a great win. He's going to move on to some good stuff. Now, they got to calm down with this next Gennady Golovkin bullshit. I understand why they say that, but no, he's not in that level. And Khabibov was solid. It's not like he wasn't there. He was there. He was there, and he was working hard. So we got to give him credit for an amazing fight, too. It's not like it's just a complete dominant, you know, wash. It was not. Good fight for what it was, though. Ray Vargas and Ball. This one surprised me. I did not expect, you know, I expected Ball to have his hands full with Vargas, and that's what happened. He had his hands full all night long. He had his hands full with freaking Ray Vargas. And people were like, no, Ray Vargas, Ball is going to beat. And I'm like, what, are you kidding me? The vast majority of people online felt like Ball was going to wash. And I'm like, are you kidding me? This is Ray Vargas. There's no way he's going to be able to easily deal with this. It's not going to happen. And that's what you saw. What you saw was a split decision draw. So we didn't get an outcome. That's not saying that Ball didn't work. He worked. He worked his ass off. But this is Ray Vargas. I told you before the fight that Ray Vargas is going to be there, and he's going to have his hand. This Ball kid, he's got his hands full, as good as I think he might be. This is a test, and he was tested, and I think he did really good. If they run it back, I think Ball would make enough adjustments to get the W on Vargas. I think it was enough shown that Vargas is still in the game. Remember, Vargas only had ever one loss, so it's not like he's been washed in any multiple fights. He only had the one loss coming into the fight. So people talking about he's toast, he's older, but it's not like he's completely damaged. He's been preserving himself in career, and he's been going the distance solidly in all of the fights. I think people got overrated by Ball. I think they go off the eye test, and a lot of these people are international, so it doesn't surprise me, but I'm just telling you what I saw, which is Ball's a good kid. He's got heart. He's got spirit. He worked his ass off. I'd like to see him back in there. I'd like to see this run back. I do think that he does beat Vargas, but he needs to go back to the drawing board a little bit. And he needs to work on defense. I think the defense was lacking in this fight. I think he was not protecting himself. Like, it didn't seem like a priority for him to protect himself before he was going on the attack. So, like, sometimes you have to get better at protecting yourself than you do going on the offensive. He tried, but it just seemed like defense was not strong for him like it needed to be against this kind of an opponent. That's all. So I want to see him back in there. I want to see him make those adjustments. I think he'll be okay. I don't think this is like an end or nothing. It's a draw, you know. Let's do a get back and see what happens there. The heavyweight fight, Jean versus Parker. This one surprised me. The outcome surprised me. Parker got eked by. He eked out against Jean, but I was surprised. I told you before the fight, you know, people were saying, you know, Jean's going to blow out Parker. And I said, no, Parker, if anything, Parker's really good at, and if he was able to last past six, it was going to be a decision. I told you that was going to happen because Parker, it's like Zhang has always only ever gotten you out in the early part of the fight. If he can't do that, it was going to lean Parker. And that's what you saw here. But what surprised me, I think, Zhang showed me he's got skill beyond power, beyond awkwardness. He's got skill because he was hand-to-hand with this guy all night long, and he really impressed me. And that's not saying he wasn't anything good, but he's never been, you know, stylistically brilliant in my eyes. I didn't expect to see what I saw. Most people saw Zhang knocking out Parker, and I said, only if Parker makes a mistake and gets caught before six, and that did not happen. And it went exactly the way I told you. So spread the word if you got people who are making bad calls and making you lose money on your bets that your guy Leister at CombatTalk.fm is getting it right like a beast here. So it went exactly like I said. If Parker lasted past six, Zhang was going to get outboxed. That's exactly what you saw, effectively, except that Zhang showed up knowing he wasn't going to get the guy out of there and then showed some skill and he showed some real quality. I loved what I saw here. I think the right guy got the hand raised. I wouldn't be averse to a rematch on this one, but I would like to see a little bit more out of both guys, you know, in terms of the division overall. I'd like to see them fight somebody else first and then maybe do a get back sometime down the road. I wouldn't mind seeing that. Because I think Parker, I don't know what was going on with Parker before, you know, where he was just taking L's and he got knocked out by Joe Joyce. I don't know what was going on if he was messed up mentally, but he seems reinvigorated and back in the action. I damn sure don't want to see him against Anthony Joshua again. But this version of Joshua, which we'll talk about here in a second, maybe it makes sense. I'm not sure. But I am happy that, you know, I am happy that it went the way it went. I think some people are kind of pissed off because they wanted to see Zhang against Joshua. I wouldn't want to see that. Speaking of Anthony Joshua versus Francis Ngannou, man, you talk about people getting this wrong. Everybody online, except for Leister here at CombatTalk.fm, got it way wrong. And I have no idea what the fuck people were talking about when they called this and they said Ngannou was going to go out there and deal with Anthony Joshua. Ngannou was going to get a knockout against Anthony Joshua. Ngannou's going to go on to be the next big star. Ngannou's going to upset the apple cart. And I don't know where the hell people got this off. And I'm the biggest Anthony Joshua critic there is, but it was obvious. I broke it down. Listen to my episode. This was last week. I broke down exactly how I felt this fight was going to go. I said that Tyson Fury fought Ngannou stupid. Tyson Fury fought Ngannou like he fought Wilder, even though Ngannou had a completely different build. Ngannou was stocky. He's bulky. He's stocky. He has trees for legs. So Tyson Fury trying to lean on him and weigh him down didn't make any damn sense. It made none. Whereas Joshua, I said, if Joshua stays away from Ngannou, just hits him at range, he's going to get him out of there. And that's exactly what happened in the second round. After dropping him three times, Joshua made it look easy. Joshua made Ngannou look like he ain't belong in the damn ring. And that's not a ding on Ngannou because I think he has a basic level of skill, but you got to think about styles. Styles make fights. In this case, Joshua's style was always wrong for Ngannou. So the people talking about Ngannou's going to get a knockout, this is why I'm saying when Uncle Roger Mayweather said most motherfuckers don't know shit about boxing, this is what he's talking about, because you're going off an eye test against an opponent where the opponent fought stupid. That's what caused it. It wasn't anywhere around Ngannou's skill. He didn't do anything against Fury that was amazing. Fury just fought like a damn idiot. That's what you saw. So then when people are getting fazed by this garbage, it's like, no, you got to step back here, bro, because Joshua in this fight made the dude look like he did not belong in the damn ring. And the hand he hit was a right hand. Right hand that put him down flat on his back, out cold. They had to give him oxygen. Can you imagine if that was, I'm not talking the current one, but prime Deontay Wilder in there tossing that same right hand, it'd have been a body on the record. And so this is the danger of the game. And people online, you got to let it go, man. They did this with fucking McGregor, talking about McGregor's going to knock out Floyd and all this stuff. And then they did it with Logan Paul. Logan Paul's going to knock out Floyd and now Ngannou. They can't separate what they're seeing to understand why a fight goes the way it does. Fury versus Ngannou was more about Fury showing up like an idiot than it was anything Ngannou did. That's what it is. Crawford and Spence was more about Spence not effectively showing up physically than it was about anything specifically Crawford was doing. Because again, Spence didn't fight like he normally did, and he was getting rocked off shit he shouldn't have gotten rocked off, which made no damn sense. Blair Cobbs and Alexis Rocha. Alexis Rocha had never fought like that leading up to that type of a fight. And then he goes out there and blows out Blair Cobbs when nobody saw that shit coming, only to then fight another scrub and get completely dominant. Do you understand that it's sometimes around the fighter themselves that causes the course of the fight to go? Floyd Mayweather was a master at this. I would argue Devin Haney is close in how he's able to do that. Tank Davis is close in how he's able to do that. But in the vast majority of the routine fighters, it's really more about whether your opponent shows the fuck up or not. And if they don't show up, that's what it is. Manny Pacquiao versus Jeff Horn. Manny Pacquiao didn't show up that night, which is why Jeff Horn took 7 rounds off the motherfucker, because Manny didn't show up. Horn wasn't doing anything spectacular. Manny didn't show up, and he took an L. It happens. So I'm saying, for all y'all that were talking about Ngannou's going to knock out Joshua, Ngannou's the next beast, Ngannou dominates the division, this, you got to learn the game. If you're not going to learn the game, you shouldn't watch the game. You can do whatever, but this was not going to go the way that you thought it was going to go. And the bottom line is, this went exactly the way that I said it was going to go. And it was an amazing outcome. I don't think it was an unsurprising outcome. It was an amazing outcome for what it is. Now that we got our results, it was an amazing weekend. I think it's exciting. You know, the boxing was amazing. WWE promos are good now. The action's still kind of shit, and we still don't have sex back in there. But the bottom line, we have a little bit of excitement coming back into sports and some of this stuff. I don't like them moving to streaming platforms, but nevertheless, let's talk about what's coming up. And the vast majority of these are going to be happening on Wednesday as I record this. So Wednesday coming up on the 13th is when these fights are going to be happening. This is on ProBox TV. Give them a shout out. A great platform. They support their ring girls. I think it's free for right now, so definitely give them a shout out. They apparently bought out boxing scenes. So that's interesting. So we'll see if NSB gets any better. But in Plant City, 10 rounds at light heavyweight action. Radovaj Kalajic versus Sullivan Barrera. Sullivan Barrera is a legend. He's been in the business a long fucking time. 42 years old, he is. A quality fighter, but man, he's had a rough time of it. This is a terrible match up on the numbers. It's a terrible matchup. Sullivan Barreras, he's been in wars. He got knocked out his most recent fight. Kalajic is a good fighter. Definitely a good fighter. If this was a prime Sullivan Barrera, he would deal with Kalajic with ease. But this is a wash. And Kalajic coming off a win, but he has some losses before. He got knocked out before the fight prior to this. Again, he's a good fighter, but he makes mistakes. He makes a lot of mistakes. He's not going to have, Barrera's not going to have anything for him. He's going to walk right through Barrera. I think it's going to be a knockout again, if not a stoppage, is my guess on that one. It's a mismatch. I'm disappointed to see that kind of a mismatch happening, but I understand. And then on the undercard of that, 10 rounds at welterweight action. Lucas Santa Maria makes his return against Nicholas Flaz. And Nicholas Flaz, I covered on one of his fights. And then Santa Maria, of course, I covered a couple times. And this one's a better matched fight, roughly equal on the books, roughly same number of fights in the business. Both have losses, both orthodox. I think Flaz has a little bit of a reach advantage. Other than that, it's roughly equal on the books. This is a really good fight. For what it is, it's hard to call this one. I watched a little bit of footage. It's hard to call this one. I don't even want to do him a disservice. But if you do want to check out some fights, this is worth watching. People online know more about Flaz than I do. They think Flaz wins it by knockout. Perhaps he does. I can't say for sure. That's what we got on combat side happening. So exciting things, exciting stuff. Check out some of the events and definitely, again, give Pro Box TV your love. They're doing good. They're trying. You know, they're trying. They're trying to bring more boxing to mainstream. I don't like their schedule, but they're trying to bring more boxing out to the mainstream. So they deserve respect for that. And we'll check back in for the next set of fights. That's going to be happening on Saturday, where we got a little bit more big fights up on the deck. And some more exciting stuff happening in the near future.